and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and we are, if you're listening to this when it drops, 24 hours away from Halloween. Really, the best holiday. Though I didn't think I'd be getting real about Halloween, but I love candy, and I love getting free things I actually want. Halloween, all you get is free candy, which is like the biggest win-win I could possibly think of. However, you have to dress in a costume, and I don't really love wearing costumes. I don't know what it is. I think it's just because I don't like pretending I'm someone else, even though it obviously, like, I'm not Maleficent. I could never pull that look off for real, but I just kind of want the candy without doing the work. That's it. I just want to cheat the system and get the free candy without trying too hard. I am actually quite excited for what I will be wearing tomorrow. I'm going to Disneyland and then I'm going to a party that night. I have different outfits for each. Not on purpose. It just kind of happened like that. And, you know, I'm going with Pearl to both and I don't want her to spill on her costume. We'll go to the thing later and there's like family pictures, et cetera, et cetera. If you're a parent, you know what I mean. But I'm very excited to go to the park on Halloween. I go almost every single year on Halloween. Whenever I'm in town, I am at Disneyland because in the past, it hasn't been that busy. My theory is that, and I think this is fact, is that kids don't want to skip school on Halloween. Halloween is the best day to be in school. Everyone's dressed up. You get to see everyone's costumes. It's fun. We would do like Monster Mash dances and stuff growing up. Like, it was so, so much fun. So hopefully the parks won't be that busy. Hopefully it'll be just very empty. I'll get to ride all the things I want to ride and get lobster nachos. That is like my Halloween treat that I have my eyes on for tomorrow. But otherwise, forget about Halloween. Forget about Halloween because we're not talking about Halloween on this week's episode, though we are talking about lobster nachos. We are talking about lobster nachos because we are talking about Disneyland food. We are going to get into it, but basically I just wanted somewhere where you could hit play and then know everything that I recommend you eat. And sometimes, even though I'm trying to be less negative these days, sometimes things that I highly recommend you don't eat. And at this point, I think I cut it from the episode, but that pizza flop over thing in Toontown, don't get it. Don't get it. Half the internet. Okay, now I will absolutely cut it because I'm talking about it now. Half the internet says it's like fantastic. You gotta try it. Yum, yum, yum. Like a little fold over. It's kind of like a calzone. It's like a pizza pocket folded in half and it's like greasy and yummy. And then the other half is like, this is not good enough. I am in the other camp because I am pretty sure that whatever marinara they say they're working with, it's basically tomato paste. I had a pepperoni pizza pocket and it shouldn't have been that bland. But that's neither here nor there because you are going to hear about so many things you should get and you should eat that I love getting when I go to Disneyland because I've been going so often and I've honestly been eating a lot of delicious food, so I can't wait to share this with you. Stick around, and if I don't talk to you before, which I don't think I will because we're here now, have a wonderful, wonderful Halloween, a safe Halloween, a great Halloween. I hope you eat many tiny little Twix. I hope you get whatever favorite candy you have. I hope you get it from houses around you. I'm hoping for little bags of Reese's Pieces, and I'm gonna keep bringing pulled houses until I get them. Okay, stick around. We'll be right back with so much more. Happy Halloween! Big news, party people. I am officially launching a long-term partnership with MEI Travel and its specialty division, Mouse Fan Travel. I'm obsessed with making sure you have the best theme park vacation possible, and so are they. Mouse Fan Travel, a division of MEI Travel, specializes in all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, all of it. And MEI Travel can help curate vacations with all major cruise lines and vacation destinations around the globe. Mouse Fan Travel is a no-fee Disney earmarked agency, which means they will handle booking your entire trip, no matter where you go, no matter what you want to do. They will help you plan it absolutely for free. For free! There really is no disadvantage to working with these expert vacation planners. Did you know they have a hotline where if something goes wrong and you're traveling, you'll have someone to call? Or that if you book a Disneyland or Disney World vacation and your room drops in price, they will get you money back? Travel agents are amazing! Disney World just announced some incredible promotions for 2025. You can save up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on select nights through April. Which means it's the perfect time to reach out to Mouse Fan Travel for a free quote on your future trip. If you want to take advantage of having a new vacation booking bestie, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Welcome back to our Disneyland food guide for winter 2024. And I guess 2025, because theme park winter is really like, what, November through March? My goal with this, spoiler alert, is to give you a new episode like this every 4 or 5 months so that no matter when you have a Disneyland trip planned, you can hit play and be briefed on what you need to know about what you gotta eat. My friend Eric recently went to Disneyland, and while I did give him a lot of advice, he was upset I didn't mention certain things, and I realized I just needed a full-blown food guide to Disneyland to be able to send to anyone who is going to the parks, especially you, very music listeners, because I don't think I've publicly discussed this, but I no longer edit the Eater Guide to Disneyland. I did it for probably, oh my gosh, 6 or 7 years. And as of this year, I was like, I just don't have time to do it. So I guess I mean, I don't want to say I quit. That sounds so serious, but I stopped doing it just purely based on time. And because of that, there's really nowhere I can send you now for all my food recommendations. So now we're doing them on Very Amusing. And the reason we're doing this too is because I've been going to Disneyland so much. I've been eating so much food at Disneyland more than ever before. So I feel like I really have my favorites. I have my hotspots that I can't wait to share that with you. This is not an end-all be-all list, people. This is just everything I would recommend you, friend to friend, get when you are at Disneyland Resort. It's mostly stuff that should be available. I don't do a lot of seasonal foods because, frankly, you know my philosophy and I feel the same way about food festivals. If it's temporary, there's probably a reason. I know it doesn't apply to everything. Food and wine people, don't come for me. But the way I feel is that if it's that good, it would be on the menu permanently. And so I tend to focus mostly on things that are available year round. But we are going to talk about a mix of park classics, some very amusing classics if you listen to our earlier Disneyland food episodes, and just things I'm really vibing with right now. Maybe even a few wild cards. Who knows what's in store? So let's begin, because we are starting with the classics. The snacks you'll find at stands throughout the park, starting with Mickey pretzels. Now, if you listen to this podcast, if you have ever heard me speak in my life, you know how I feel about a sealed cheese cup. I like plastic cheese, the gooey one, not the sealed peel top cheese. But you know what? It's 2024. I think I need to open my mind to different kinds of cheese, because what I'm going to tell you, I've eaten a lot of this cheese lately just because I've gotten hungry and I've had a kid with me and I needed a snack. And I'm going to say if the cheese is warm, it works. If it's warm, it does the job. If it's cold, it is thick. It is paste. It is nauseating. But I think I'm going to start giving sealed cheese cups a pass. I know it's a lot of growth for me. I'm really proud of myself, to be honest. But I've gotten it a few times recently and it was warmer and it wasn't so bad. But that said, I am a woman of one interest, which is yummy, yummy food. And so if you want actual melted cheese, like plastic cheese, as we call it in the theme park game, you can find the good cheese at Refreshment Corner on Main Street in Disneyland. And if you are, I don't know, a little hungrier than a Mickey pretzel, there are Bavarian-style pretzels floating around. You can always find it at Sonoma Terrace. That comes with cheese as well. But sometimes they pop up at Disneyland, so keep an eye out. It's not always there, but sometimes it is, but if you want one, you can get it at Sonoma Terrace. Another classic, churros. Doy, you gotta get a churro if you're going to Disneyland. There are always seasonal ones with special flavors and dipping sauces. Just search churro in the app and they'll all pop up. Basically, they're all, choose your fighter. I'm not going to recommend one over any others, but if you're going to get a churro, seek out the one that has the best dipping sauce topping, or just get a regular, regular old churro. A regular standard churro is pretty good. I was going to make a joke that I realized in real time, I don't think I can say on mic. I know there are a lot of children listening, but the thing that people say about doing on a flight, and that's what I was going to say. A classic snack. Come on. Popcorn. And what I'm going to say is that popcorn at Disneyland, one, has been hitting lately, and two, is better here than anywhere else. Movie theater does not compare. I was recently in Colorado, and I went to a movie theater that had actual butter you could put on your popcorn, which for me, oh, is the holy grail. They used to do it in Arclight. RIP Arclight? Question mark to my LA people? But that to me is the pinnacle of movie theater popcorn, and it still was not as good as the Disneyland popcorn I've been getting lately. However, while popcorn here is an art form, it is not the same at every stall. I don't want to say I have a favorite, because lately, you really gotta feel it out. It's really kind of like playing whack-a-mole with your senses. Because if you can smell the popcorn before you see it, you should get it. That's kind of the golden rule when it comes to getting very, very good popcorn. Because you want butter and you want salt. Sometimes it'll be buttery and not salty. Sometimes it'll be salty and the whole thing will be white. There's like no, I mean, it's not butter. It's colored coconut oil. But you know what I mean. You want it to be yellow and you want it to be salty. You want it to be more yellow than white. That's kind of the rule. So let me encourage you, dear listener, that if you walk by a popcorn stand, here's what you got to check for. Is it actively popping? That's a great sign. How much is in the bin? If there's not that much in the bin, I don't trust the dregs of the popcorn bin. Look, smell. First of all, smell for the smell. Look to see if there's popcorn in there. And then look at the color ratio. I know if you don't like popcorn, this is going to sound nuts. But look at the color ratio, because if it's more white than yellow, abandon. Abandon ship. I've gotten in line, looked at it, gotten to the front and gone, never mind, sorry. And gone to another stand and then gotten perfect popcorn. So make sure to play by my rules and then you'll get really, really good popcorn. And while I said I wasn't going to recommend one, lately, the one that has hit the most is the popcorn stand in Disney California Adventure in the Hub. The one that also sells caramel corn. If you know, you know. I don't get the caramel corn. I don't think it's very good, but that stand also sometimes has a salt shaker, which I've never seen anywhere else, but I've gotten three good ones in a row there. I did pass it up recently because it didn't look good, so that's why I don't want to fully recommend a stand, but if you're in DCA, that one or the one on the other side by Soarin' is usually your best bet. Magic Kingdom, I'm feeling it out. I'm feeling it out depending on smell. And I know in previous episodes I've said the box of popcorn is good. Honestly, I've soured on it. I do love that you can carry it around. It's great. But the popcorn has been so good lately that I simply can't stop myself. Though a small gripe, I want to say, there's no more refills. They'll sell you a souvenir popcorn bucket and there's no refills. Like, I know margins are thin, but come on, guys. I want to refill a bucket at a lower cost like you can at Disney World. Why can't it? Why is there no, like, $2 refill? $2.25? What's going on there? I gotta move on from popcorn, otherwise this will be a full podcast about my favorite snack. I'm literally standing in my office looking around at different popcorn art, so we will move on. We will move on to some other quieter cult favorites from food stands, which includes the pickles. The pickles are available at fruit stands throughout the park. They are a cult classic, and my friend Eric yelled at me to not warn him about the pickles, so this is my job, telling people that the pickles are there, and they are good. I also recently saw flavored ones, not like spicy, like there were flavors. I think there were four different ones. I saw them at DCA. I think it was on one of the like to-go food carts, the ones where you basically buy soda and like an ice cream bar. And I should have taken a picture because I don't fully remember what the flavors were. But honestly, I was eating a corn dog and rushing back to my friends. So I was distracted. I should have remembered. But they are out there. If I see them, I'll mention them in a future episode. Another cult favorite from the stalls includes turkey legs. You can get these at the hot food carts. They are currently sold at three locations at Disneyland. They are at the stand outside of the entrance of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. The official name is Ship to Shore Snacks, if you know about it. If I say that otherwise, it'll make no sense. So the stand by Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, the busy one because there's so much stuff there, in Fantasyland at Edelweiss Snacks, in the Hub by the Castle, and at Poultry Palace and Pixar Pier. I outline that because they can bop around. Their location can change from time to time, so definitely check in the app if you are wanting a turkey leg. And another quiet cult favorite from the food stands does include a breakfast chimichanga, but let me warn you, if you take down this behemoth for breakfast, you are not going to feel good after. And I know a lot of people who don't go to Disneyland a lot are like, I've heard of this breakfast chimichanga. I gotta get the breakfast chimichanga. Fully support it. I fully support that behavior, but please split it with someone. I'm worried about your tum-tum. Just make sure you don't finish the whole thing. It's a lot. I had the whole thing once. It didn't go well. So just heed my warning. Speaking of, we've also got the classic deep fried stuff, corn dogs. Corn dogs at Disneyland are kind of a rite of passage and definitely worth getting, even if you're not really a hot dog person. Little Red Wagon, Stage Door Cafe at Disneyland. If you want a non-hot dog one, you can get a cheese dog available at Corn Dog Castle at Disney California Adventure. And again, similar to the chimichanga, I got this recently. It was great, but it really sunk in my body like an anchor at sea. It was just so heavy before Incredicoaster. Which is definitely my bad, but just keep in mind, this stuff can sink in your body. Maybe I'm just have a, I just have a slow system. I don't know, but I ate that and then was like, wow, wow, my body chemistry feels different. Still, the cheese one is delicious and pretty unique because it's just like, it's like not gloopy, but it's cheddar and it's in a corndog casing. It's great. It's great. It's great. And just, oh, Disneyland corndogs are fantastic. They are served with a really sad mandarin. I don't know what this corporate partnership with Cuties is, but I'm like ready for it to be over. They're served with that or a bag of Lay's potato chips, like literally the most boring chip alive. You won't want either. They used to let you opt out. If you're mobile ordering, you can't. The last time I tried to opt out in person, they wouldn't let me. So I don't think you can anymore, but just keep that in mind. There is also a corn dog place in Downtown Disney, Blue Ribbon, but honestly, I need a dose of magic with my corn dog. Like, once I'm inside the gates, I want a corn dog. Once I'm outside, I don't want anything to do with a corn dog. I want to have a Disneyland corn dog. I want to be standing on Main Street with my meal on a stick, chowing down. Sorry, that's just how I feel about corn dogs. Another classic deep fried snack, funnel cakes. Stage Door Cafe and a few other places have this. Again, this can rotate. Check the app before you go if you want one. But the Hungry Bear Barbecue Jamboree, which opened literally moments ago, like moments before recording this, has funnel cake fries on the menu. I will be trying them in the future and will let you know in future episodes what I think about them. Speaking of, also, Hungry Bear Barbecue Jamboree is not mentioned in this episode for that same reason. I'm going a few days after this, so stay tuned in the future. I will let you know what I think. I've heard some things are good, heard some things are not so good. I gotta know more about those corn ribs. Corn ribs. I can't wait. Anyway, we will get back to that. If we're talking classic fried food, we gots to be talking about French fries. And weirdly, please don't cancel me for this, okay, guys? Please. I just think, I'm like really, I'm like scared to say this out loud. Okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be brave. I think Disney French fries are bad. I mean, they're like mediocre at best. When they are good, they are just mediocre. They are never great. Plain Disney French fries are never great. They're just not like the fast food level you want them to be. RIP McDonald's fries at Disney parks. You know what I'm talking about. So really the only French fries these days that I'm seeking out are going to be the film strip fries at Award Wieners. I've talked about these before on Very Amusing, but what I love about them is that they're thicker. They're more like a potato, so they're more of a snack. If you need just something in the middle of the day, you're hungry, you need some food to power through, you got a bunch of lightning lanes you got to go to, but you're hungry and you need to eat, you need to nourish yourself. I really like the film strip fries. Just because I think they're better than the regular Disney French fries. They're thicker, they're a fun shape, and they're a really nice dipping vehicle. I love them, I highly recommend them. I think that is a great go-to snack. There is one other fry that I like that I will talk about later this episode, but again, they're not worth phoning home about, essentially. One of my all-time favorite fried Disneyland foods, though, are the fried pickle spears at Carnation Cafe. It is a sit-down restaurant. You need a reservation or you need to walk up and land a table to be able to get these. But I just think they're great. I think they're great. Like, the last time I got them, they were made poorly in the sense that, like, the pickle, because pickles are kind of wet, like, the pickle was not interested in being fried. It was like, not today, dude. I don't want this. And the fried part was kind of falling off. Still amazing. I bit into it. I burned my entire mouth. 10 out of 10 would do again. They're just, if you go to Carnation Cafe, you got to get them. Just a fried pickle is so delicious. And I love that they give you the spears. They're not, you know, like chip, what's that called? Like chip cut where they're circular. I love them. I love them so much. And the sauce that comes with them is really good for dipping the fries with your entree into. Again, those are, surprise, surprise, those are the fries that I like at Disneyland. Again, we will get into that because we have so much more to talk about. Because we're talking, my favorite sweets. My sweet tooths, sweet teeth. Sweet teeth sounds weird. Sweet teeth sounds way weirder than sweet tooth. People, attention people who like sweets. There we go. If someone walks into the room listening to this and they're like, what are you listening to? I apologize in advance to your loved ones. Anyway, the sweet shop cases, where those are concerned. Caramel apples, classic. Marshmallow wands or Tigger Tails over at Pooh Corner. They're chaotic, but they're good. It is sugar on sugar on sugar. It is a marshmallow and then a caramel layer and then a chocolatey layer. It is a lot, but if you've ever wanted to feel a sugar high like you are 7 years old on Halloween, get yourself a marshmallow wand and you're going to feel that all over again. Still, the churro toffee, I believe, is the best item in the case. Even though the price increases, they keep happening. They're continuous. They don't seem to stop. That thing is like almost $8.50 now, I think. The churro toffee is still the best item and a really great item to transport home for anyone who couldn't go to Disneyland and you want to bring them a special little treat. And while I am not going to wade into the Christmas time candy cane season lore, the whole thing sounds very stressful to me. Because this is a winter food guide, I need to flag it. Disneyland Resort has these homemade candy canes. It is a process to get them. You gotta be early. You gotta get, it's a whole thing. This is why I'm not getting into it. Again, too stressful for me to handle. People swear by them. They say they're great. I don't think a candy cane could possibly be worth early morning theme park stress. Again, I say that as someone who doesn't eat candy canes usually, because I don't really celebrate Christmas. So if you want them, just Google Disneyland candy cane. There are fantastic guides out there that'll help you through the process. But if you are in town, definitely. I mean, that's a wonderful gift too. Just keep that in mind. I will not be your guide on that journey. However, I wish you the best on it. If you are in those sweet shops that I mentioned, skip the cookies in the case. They are horrible. And there are much better options elsewhere throughout the parks. Jack Jack's Cookie Num Num is a brown butter chocolate chip cookie served warm. And while I have kind of had too many of these, they are still a classic and they are quite good. But my favorite cookie on property is obviously over at Harbor Galley, and they are worth the hype. These became a bit of a TikTok cookie, but they are actually fantastic. They are served warm, they are freshly baked, and you can get them in a bag of 6 or a baker's dozen, which basically means if you eat 3, it's like, oh, I didn't finish all my cookies. I have so much more room in my body for more treats. It's just delightful. Something about being served many cookies instead of one cookie just feels like you're getting away with something. You know what I mean? I love it so much. And they transport home really well. I really like having a couple in the park and then having them later that night when I'm like, oh man, no more Disneyland. And then I have a few more cookies. A few more cookies. But sidebar, there is this cookie butter whipped topping that's $1.39. I have never seen this before until I prepped this episode. I somehow miss this every time I've mobile ordered. I'm so upset. I will be getting this and reporting back because I gotta dunk one of these cookies in this cookie butter. I've been missing out this whole time. Anyway, these cookies were a hot commodity for a minute, but can easily be mobile ordered in advance. And I gotta say, something about mobile ordering them, it can usually be, I'm gonna say 40 minutes. That's the average of how long I've usually waited for these cookies. I place the order, I go do something, and then I get them. But picking them up right after you exit the Haunted Mansion, it's right across the way, is a perfect little theme park treat moment, and I highly recommend. If you're going with any family, or you're going with friends, order them before you go on Haunted Mansion. Get out of Haunted Mansion, pick up the cookies, split them with your group. A wonderful surprise. And then, of course, there is the Matterhorn Macaroon. Woo! My longtime fave. I have taken a break from these because I have just, you know, right now I'm on the chocolate chip cookie. I will come back to the Matterhorn Macaroon, but they are fantastic. They are a delicious, sweet, soft coconut macaroon shaped like the Matterhorn. Like, what an iconic thing for them to have. They're really great. You can mobile order them. I, again, like the cookies. These aren't sold in a bag of 6, but you can make anything sold in a bag of 6 if you buy 6 of them. So I, when I went with friends a few years ago, I got a whole bunch of them and passed them out to the group. It's just a really great group snack, a good surprise, and also a great take-home treat. It's not as impressive as the churro toffee, I'd say, because it's a little smaller and compact, and it's just like, boom. It's like saying it looks like the Matterhorn when you're not in Disneyland doesn't hit as well. But still, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful snack. There are other classic Disneyland sweets I just want to shout out. Beignets, for example, there are a few options. You have the Mickey beignets over at Mint Julep Bar. I don't recommend getting the seasonal flavor. I found in my career, in my life, that it's almost always inferior, but they do sell a mixed bag that is partially flavored Mickey beignets, partially regular ones. And I assume it is a mixed bag. Like, truly, if you're getting the grape beignets, like the eye-watering grape-flavored beignets, if they're all in a bag together, I mean, isn't the sugar's gonna mix? Isn't everything gonna taste a little grapey? I just say get the regular ones. Just get the regular ones. They also have filled beignets at Tiana's Palace. And they have that place Beignets Expressed in Downtown Disney. And I'm sorry, but if you are a dog owner, you simply cannot take yourself to a place with that name. They might have the best beignets in the world, and I just will never know. But the very best dessert at Disneyland, if you follow me online, you know, is the Pim's Test Kitchen Choco Smash Candy Bar. This thing is under $10. It feels like they're losing money on it. And it was gone for a while and it finally came back and it's the exact same thing. It is too much food for one sitting, which is kind of something I love. I love giving me too much food for one sitting. Cookies sold in a bag of 6 or 13, too much food for one sitting. It's wonderful. But this especially is that. It's a bit of a challenge because on a hot day, you cannot bring that sucker home. No, 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 no. But if you get it at night, you bring a Ziploc in your bag like I do, it is the perfect take-home snack. What I do is that when I bring it home, I like to cut it into slices. And that way I can easily pick out a little slice if I want a little treat at night. I'm still working on one from a couple months ago. It's nice. It's nice to always have it in the freezer. It is dark chocolate, peanuts, caramel, nougat. The nougat is so good. And a bottom layer of a chocolate brownie. I got kind of dragged online when I said this was homemade. I purely meant that this was not a food product that was being transferred off of a Sysco truck. This is something that they are making at Disneyland special, and it is absolutely wonderful. If we're highlighting sweets, we of course have to talk about ice cream. And if you're here, you are likely dabbling in Dole Whip, which you'll find at Tropical Hideaway and Tiki Juice Bar in Disneyland. There are also different flavors there and around. At DCA, you can find Dole Whip Lemon and Mango at Adorable Snowman. That is the stand on your left as you walk towards Incredicoaster. You can also get Dole Whip at Trader Sam's and Tangaroa Terrace, which is the quick service eatery at Disneyland Hotel. You may not see it on the menu, but I believe it is ordered next to, kind of between the two locations at the bar if you would like to get it with a floater of rum. You can get soft serve at the Cozy Cones over at Cars Land if you want regular vanilla, chocolate, stuff like that. But I gotta warn you, this is a huge warning, there is no vanilla soft serve in Disneyland Park. Period. It doesn't make any sense. It's actually kind of dumb. I get a text about this twice a year from family and friends being like, where is it? My kid wants vanilla soft serve. And you just can't get it. Why? You just can't get it in Disneyland. You can get it at DCA at the Cozy Cones. So grab it there while you can. It is also like the best vanilla you've ever gotten. I don't know why. If it's that good, bring it to the other park. Oh, they need it everywhere. It's so delicious. It's just perfect. And there are the Mickey bars and the regular stuff at carts and also ice cream scoops. I never usually get regular ice cream at the parks unless I'm really in the mood. I did get it recently. I got cookies and cream. It was good. But you can get it at Gibson Girl Ice Cream Parlor on Main Street, Golden Horseshoe at Disneyland. Ghirardelli has Ghirardelli stuff if you're a chocolate head. And also at Clarabelle's at Disney California Adventure. I have not gone in an eternity, but Clarabelle's also has this hand-dipped ice cream bar. And I think after a few years, after finally putting this episode together, I'm really starting to crave one again. You can choose your choice of chocolate coating and topping. And yeah, this is going back on the list because it's been way too long and they are quite delicious. On the flip side of that, now that we've got ice cream out of the way, let's discuss our cold weather favorites, because cold weather in California happens in fall and winter, but also kind of randomly in spring and summer and throughout the year. I guess, thanks global warming, I don't know, but you kind of never know what you're going to get. You get a different climate at night than you do during the day, so this kind of applies year round. Anyway, the filled bread cones at Cozy Cone 3 are a crowd favorite. I feel like I legally have to recommend them, even though they're not my bag. I have to tell you about them because it's my job and I'll be in trouble if I don't, but they're not my go-to. It's basically a cone made out of bread filled with beef chili or mac and cheese with bacon. And again, it all comes in this bread cone. I just think the bread is so disconcertingly thick in a way that I don't like. I don't know, something about them doesn't work for me. People love them. Again, not my favorite. Want to inform you about them, but I would rather have my stuff in a bread bowl. I've decided this year I'm becoming a bread bowl person. I'm going to live up any cold weather night, any cold weather day, and just really lean into the bread bowl. There are so many bread bowl options throughout the resort, but I want to highlight a few of my favorites. At the time of recording this, by the way, no location at Disneyland seemingly has broccoli cheddar soup in a bread bowl on the menu, which is the classic. But here are just some ones I want to highlight. Harbor Galley has clam chowder, but also corn chowder. Corn chowder in bread bowl? Ooh, delicious. They also have a butternut squash vegan option that is also available at Royal Street Veranda. Refreshment Corner has mac and cheese and chili. And you can actually get mac and cheese and chili both in the bowl, which sounds kind of fun. But I kind of recommend going over to Aunt, oh, I'm saying it on mic again. Oh boy. Aunt Cass Aunt Cass Cafe. I want to say aunt, but her name is Cass. So I think it's Aunt Cass Cafe. I've done this before. I will never learn. But they have clam chowder. They have mac and cheese, but they also have curry beef. It is a Japanese curry. I had it before. It was really great, but be warned, it dyed everything. It dyed my clothes. It dyed my hands. The yellow, it must have been turmeric, like the yellow in it just dyed everything. But it was still quite delicious. We are going to take a quick break, but right after that, I've got all my top restaurant recommendations, favorite snacks, and even a few maybe surprises. Who knows? Stick around. We've got more food after this. Tis the season to swap your wardrobe from breezy linen faves to cozy cashmere sweaters. Or if you're anything like me, from tank tops and bike shorts to sweaters and bike shorts. Because yes, we're talking about Quince and how extremely good their athleisure is. Leggings for cold days and layering. Shorts if you live in a freaky climate like I do and experience four seasons within one day. But no matter what you need, from cozy cropped cardigans to the chicest luxury dresses to work-ready outfits and pants and so much more, Quince has you covered. I recently bought a few new things from Quince, and yes, I got more bike shorts. I'm sorry, it's my uniform. They're just so good. But I got new colors, which is, that's growth. That's growth. But also the way I see it, when you find something you love, you gotta stock up on it, which is actually possible with Quince's incredible prices. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, yet their quality is unmatched. Beautiful leather jackets, cotton cardigans, soft denim, and so much more. By partnering directly with top factories using safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, Quince delivers high-quality items you'll live in year after year at a price that feels as great as their materials. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That means you can live through all of the seasons of the year before deciding something and still return it? That's incredible. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and yeah, 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing.
If you listen to this podcast, you know I have an arch nemesis, and that is my allergies. I've apologized in so many episodes over how noticeably I am suffering, which is why I am beyond excited to tell you there is a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding a loved one's house because they have a cat, and not just because that is a real problem in my family. Thanks to Curex, America's largest online allergy clinic, you're able to begin your journey towards becoming allergy-free with custom medication that is shipped right to your door. My life is crushed on a daily basis by allergies. I'm out here at theme parks crying through my makeup, wiping away tears and snot constantly because my body can't handle the elements, or pollen, or dust, or most makeup, just purely existing in the outdoors. Or indoors, it's a real double whammy. The amount of products we have bought in our house to help with my dust allergies is innumerable, which is why I am blown away by Curex. Because allergies aren't just something you're forced to live with. They can be treated effectively, and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you can start feeling real relief. These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science. And from what I'm told, in Europe, allergy drops are the go-to treatment for allergies. And if you've ever watched a French pharmacy skincare haul, you know Europeans know what's up. You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic, and the New York Times says they are changing the landscape of allergies. So if you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month, and if you sign up now, you can save 80% off the $49 sign-up fee. And I'm bad at math, so in case you are also, that means for my calculator and my computer, you'll be spending under 10 bucks. Go to getcurex.com today for this limited time offer. That's getcurex, GetCurex.com. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex.
Let's talk HelloFresh. Now, if you've never considered yourself a meal kit person, I'm going to paint you a picture. Like so many of you, I'm busy. I'm a little disorganized, and they may or may not be eating handfuls of crackers as a meal. But imagine a box shows up on your doorstep like it did for me last week with everything you need to make fresh, healthy meals for you and your household. No running out because you forgot a lemon or don't have garlic. No, it's all right there. Everything you need and nothing more. Easy, customizable recipes mean each meal is just the way you like it. There are always options available to trade or upgrade proteins or swap out side dishes. And whether you're craving hearty comfort food, trying to please picky eaters, young or old, or looking for a specific kind of meal plan, HelloFresh has all those options and more available on a rotating menu of 50 recipes to choose from each and every week. By the way, my favorite meal this week was chicken thyme with zucchini couscous. So fresh, so good, and much better than the slop I'm putting together with whatever's left in the fridge. Because sometimes you run out of produce and it takes you a long, long time to get it. But now with HelloFresh, magically appears on your doorstep. HelloFresh is truly out here saving me and guaranteeing that I get nutrients in my body. They do the recipe planning, the grocery shopping, and so much of the prep work. It's heaven! And now it's even better because you can get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/freeamusing. Applied across 7 boxes, new subscribers only, and varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/freeamusing. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Spark something uncommon this holiday with the perfect gift from Uncommon Goods. It's officially the holiday season, and my gift to you is no more buying stuff nobody really wants. Oh, gloves for dad, socks for your sister, a sad necklace for your mom. No, it is 2024. We have the power of the internet at our fingertips, and you need to use those fingers to stop scrolling and type in one URL, uncommongoods.com. Because here, shopping for your loved ones is also fun for you. I just browsed around the Uncommon Goods website looking for a gift for Pearl and found this adorably cheeky animal matching memory card game, which, by the way, I've never seen anywhere else. Every other store stocks the same kid stuff, but not this one. And while I was, you know, bopping around being a good mom looking for Pearl things, I came across a homemade pretzel and beer cheese kit. A perfect gift from me to me this holiday season. And that's what they're all about. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids, that's what I experienced, and hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Their products are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the US. They have the most meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere, and I recommend them as your first and honestly, probably last stop this shopping season. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/amusing. That's uncommongoods.com/amusing for 15% off! That's 15% off beer cheese and toys and gifties and so many things! Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Oh my god, I love that tagline. They're just like us! Welcome back. We will begin with my favorite quick service restaurant recommendations because truly, table service can take a while. You can be there for an hour and a half. And when you're at Disneyland, especially if you're only going for one day, it's a quick trip. You want to just jam in a lot of rides and entertainment and character meets and things like that. A quick service restaurant is a great way to still enjoy Disneyland dining, but also be able to enjoy everything else Disneyland has. If I am eating, this is where I'm eating on a regular basis. Again, if I was writing a guide like I used to do for Eater, there are places I feel I have to recommend, but here is where I'm usually going. And at Disneyland, I am going to Rancho del Zocalo or occasionally Jolly Holiday. Does this mean Plaza Inn is bad? No! Does it mean I'll be going there for a platter of fried chicken in the middle of a busy park day? Also, no! I've also got beef with Plaza Inn people because here's the deal. You used to be able to go in and get things a la carte. You go in and get two pieces of chicken, and that's it. They ended that. Now if you want a meal, you gotta get a protein and sides and all this stuff. I mean, the fried chicken, three pieces of chicken, I'm reading the menu excerpt and I'm not gonna, you get three pieces of chicken, you also get seasonings. No, you get three pieces of chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, buttermilk biscuit, and seasonal vegetables. I don't always want that much food because I have so many other snackies I want to eat at Disneyland. You know, you want like a savory snack. You want a sweet snack. You don't want to be fully full from the meal because there's so many other things to eat. It's taking away my opportunity to thrive culinarily. Anyway, because you can't get stuff a la carte, I basically just don't go anymore. And I'm always at Rancho del Zocalo. The food there is always great. I will say I don't love the current menu. I miss the salad and the taco bowl. I miss a few other things. But the fresh chips and salsas at Rancho del Zocalo is where it is at. And you can order little sides of salsa with your meal if you just want to try it with your food. The guac feels a little, I don't know for certain, but it feels a little like it was made from plastic bag avocados, if you know what I mean. Like when you buy guacamole and like the squeeze thing at the grocery store, that's kind of what it tastes like a little. I don't know if that's accurate. It's probably freshly made and I'm just a fool, but the salsas will never disappoint you. The guacamole's fine. It's better than the bag. It's better than like squeezy mayonnaise style avocado. I don't want to be in trouble for this. The guacamole is like pretty good, but you're not going there for guacamole. You're going there for the salsas, which are fantastic. No matter what you get one on the side. They will zhuzh up your meal in a way you simply will not expect because they're so good. If I'm at California Adventure, I'm likely just snacking my way through the park. I don't do much quick service there, to be honest. If I do, I'm probably going to Pim's Test Kitchen, though the menu has changed a lot from the one that I used to like, so I'm kind of, I'm indifferent. But if I'm with friends, I really like to do a little combo situation from the different eateries in the San Francisco area. There are standout items at places, which I will mention throughout this episode, but I don't often find myself at Flo's very much. I'm not at Smoke Jumpers unless they've got something seasonal that appeals to me. I'm just kind of snacking my way around. But my new move is going to be to leave the park and go to GCH Craftsman Grill. Now, there are two locations with this name. It's very confusing. GCH Craftsman Bar is the poolside bar and restaurant. You can get like pizzas and a bunch of stuff and there's waiter service. GCH Craftsman Grill is the quick service takeaway, kind of drop in, get food and leave of that hotel. You'll basically end up paying the same you will for food inside the park for something that is truly excellent. And all you'll have to do is just bloop, bloop out the end park exit. You can use that entrance and exit whether or not you are staying at the hotel. You can easily exit and come right back in and you are going to get fantastic food guaranteed. The ambiance is like, nah, it's not great, but it's worth it because the poke bowl there, I posted about this on Instagram recently, it is my favorite go-to Disneyland meal right now. It is an unbelievable poke bowl. I'm not out here ordering a lot of poke bowls because a lot of them are disappointing. This one has your choice of tuna or salmon. It has greens. It has crab salad. It has rice. It has so many little seaweed salad. It has so many little yummies in there to make a full meal that is so delicious. And every bite is a little different. And I love it so much. This place might low-key be the best quick service in Disneyland, period. The menu is upscale, but like priced the same as other things. The food, again, the food quality here, fantastic. I highly recommend trying it on your next trip. Just pop out of the park, grab a little food. You can always bring the food back in the park and eat there too. It's just gonna be, I don't know, so much better than so many options that are within walking distance of it. As for table service restaurants, at Disneyland, I'm really at Carnation Cafe more than probably any other place. It just has the exact food I want to eat. A fun appetizer, those fried pickles, a filling meal, and seasoned fries that are actually good. A rarity around these parts lately. I usually get the Carnation Cafe cheeseburger, but swap in a veggie patty. So it's all this stuff that comes on that one with a veggie base. And I'm also chugging so much Coke Zero. So much Coke Zero at a Disneyland restaurant. That's when I know like things are good. When I just have a bottomless Coke Zero to drink. But there are plenty of other restaurants throughout Disneyland Resort. Lamplight Lounge is my go-to Disney California Adventure suggestion, but reservations are impossible at this place lately. Impossible. I have been looking for so long for multiple days and I just can't find one. But speaking of, my advice to myself and you is that if you can't get an advance reservation for something you want at Disneyland Resort, don't snooze out on the walk-up waitlist option. It is in the app. You have to like be there. You can check in. You can try to get a res and it works really well. Like the functionality of it is pretty impressive. I've gotten tables places by doing that. It's been nice. And as I mentioned on other episodes, if you can't get anything, Just walk up to the host stand. Just check in with the person there and just see if there's anything else. No, you know, no harm if there's no table, but it always helps to ask. You'll never know. You'll never know otherwise. Also, be sure to check the night before and even day of for last minute cancellations. You'd be very surprised what you can find at the last minute. But going back to Lamplight Lounge, I hear the brunch is great. I've still never made it there on a weekend at the right time to be able to do it, but I will one day. For work's sake, I will do it. But the food there is, in my experience, pretty great. My longtime favorite on that menu are the potato skins. They're these crispy, I know you're picturing like a regular potato skin. These are like crispier potatoes. They're more like, feel like potato cups a little more. And they've got brown butter, caper yogurt, a smoked paprika aioli, which is fantastic. And it comes with manchego cheese. It is so, so good. There is also, besides Lamplight Lounge, Lamplight Lounge Boardwalk Dining. That is the upstairs kind of patio version of the restaurant. This is where you're going to find lobster nachos. They have a very limited menu. Lobster nachos are at both Lamplight Lounges. That is their staple item. You can find that at anything with Lamplight Lounge in the name. But they sell those upstairs and downstairs. But specifically, if you don't have a reservation for the restaurant, you can walk up and try to get in Lamplight Lounge Boardwalk Dining. And that's probably where you're going to end up getting the nachos. I am literally getting the nachos tomorrow. It is on my to-do list to check back in on these because I have heard a lot of middling things. I've heard that after the pandemic, things have changed with the lobster nachos. I'm going to check in. We're going to see. But if you are listening to this before I loop back about the lobster nachos, please keep in mind that you can also get them with steak. So if you want to get steak instead of lobster, if you're like, I just want to stick with steak, I've had them with steak many times and they are very, very good. They're very good. Maybe I'm concerned. The things online that people are saying about these lobster nachos, I'm concerned. Now, if you're on a special trip or it's your first trip to Disneyland or you want to experience something you've never done before, Blue Bayou is extremely special. That's kind of my vote. I don't feel a need to go back there regularly, but I have been there. And if you haven't, being able to dine inside a ride, inside Pirates of the Caribbean, it's pure magic. It's also like kind of romantic. I don't know. I love it. I think it's great. I'm not eating there all the time, but hey, if you haven't experienced it, it is definitely a bucket list moment. And similarly, at California Adventure, Carthay Circle all the way. That is a nice restaurant in a theme park that I love. And if you're looking for a straight up nice restaurant, Napa Rose. Go to Napa Rose. Napa Rose is excellent. I'm just in a different vibe from like a sit down, nice, elegant restaurant when I am at Disneyland Resort. I'm just like, feed me fried food all day. But if you want a nice meal, Carthay, of course, but also Napa Rose. We don't talk about Napa Rose enough because it's fancy and pricey and elegant, but Napa Rose is where it's at. Now let's discuss Carthay Circle Lounge. Unlike Boardwalk Dining, which kind of feels like a bar patio at Lamplight Lounge, they got the one item you want, they got a bunch of silly drinks. Here, this place does get the Carthay Circle vibe. It is elegant, it is nice, and yes, you're kind of like sitting outdoors, you're not upstairs at the main restaurant, but there is so much food. There is so much good stuff, and the cocktails are incredible. If you drink alcohol, this is the place to do it. Because if you're me, when it comes to cocktails, you have three options. You got Napa Rose, elegant, classy, again, really nice cocktails. Trader Sam's, going to a tiki bar having fun. Or Carthay Circle and Carthay Circle Lounge. Their drinks are fantastic. Now, you could whip this into like a drinks and meal situation, but do be warned, the food menu here is pretty pricey. Like, you'll be paying $16 for a minestrone soup. But the food is really high quality, really delicious, and just stuff that you can't really find elsewhere. I would venture to say it's some of the best bites you'll find in the park. Right now, they've got stuff like Vietnamese beef lettuce wraps, soy ginger braised pork bao buns, spicy crab spring roll. As I would call it, real food, actual food during your theme park day. They also have kids' entrees at around $13 to $14 a pop, which again, the pricing here, keep in mind. They have a quesadilla and pasta and glazed chicken skewers. But I guess if they have a kids menu, that means I don't have to feel bad about bringing Pearl to a bar. Just getting an old fashioned, I guess. Is that appropriate? I don't know how parenthood works. But anyway, Carthay Circle Lounge, a great place, kind of a hybrid between a nice meal and getting a drink and just hanging out for an hour. But perhaps I've gotten ahead of myself because there are a few classic Disney things, a few classic Disney meals, which I need to warn you about because they may take a few hoops to jump through that you did not expect. At breakfast time, of course, that's going to be Mickey waffles. To find them, you'll have to be there before 10:30 a.m. typically, and also very likely not be inside the park. If you want Mickey waffles for breakfast, at Disneyland, there are a few locations, but you'll need a reservation. Carnation Cafe, the place that I keep recommending, has Mickey-shaped waffles, both big and small, I believe, as does Plaza Inn with their character breakfast. Generally speaking, nearly all character breakfasts will have them, but that's a big buy-in both for time and money. So if you want to get Mickey waffles on the go, your best bet might be one of Disneyland's hotels. GCH Craftsman Grill is kind of your best bet. Again, you can pop in and out of the park, just look at the kids menu for them. And you can also get them now inside California Adventure over at Schmoozie's. But here's the deal, and here's why I'm kind of mentioning this as an addendum. They come in a bag, which feels demeaning. I don't know why, but something about a Mickey waffle being served like a beignet doesn't sit well with me. It just doesn't sit well. I want to have breakfast. I want it on a plate. I want to be able to cut it up and pour syrup on it. And just being given a bag with a little container of syrup doesn't feel the same. I also got to mention, a big ol' sigh for Flo's no longer serving breakfast. They used to have their own waffles that weren't Mickey-shaped, but they were great. They were character waffles. They were fantastic. And they haven't served breakfast since at some point in the pandemic. And it's just kind of a bummer. I hope they bring it back. I really miss that. Another iconic classic Disney meal, which you'll have to plan ahead for, is the Monte Cristo. You can find it at Cafe Orleans and Blue Bayou. Here's the deal. I think once is enough. This is a food that's not going to get you through the day, right? This is really just going to take you down. See? Breakfast chimichanga, okay? But there are two different versions. They are battered, they are fried, and one has three cheeses, brie, Swiss, and mozzarella, and the other has turkey, ham, and Swiss. They are served at the restaurant with pommes frites or a different side, but honestly, life hasn't been the same since Cafe Orleans changed their pommes frites. They used to have, this is why I have a vendetta against Disney fries. They used to have these delicious, crispy, seasoned, perfectly fried French fries, and they got rid of them, and whatever they have in its place is inferior. And it hurts so much, like an ex, like it's like a coffee shop I used to go with an ex that I can't go back to. That is my feeling towards Cafe Orleans. I just can't do it anymore. So I haven't had a Monte Cristo in a while simply because I can't do it. And really, I think once is enough. Some grab-and-go items that I think are worth highlighting. The Quesabirria Tacos at Cochina Cucamonga Mexican Grill at Disney California Adventure. This is in that San Francisco area that I mentioned. Just look for the line. Look for where most people are waiting. These are braised beef and cheese tacos with tomatillo salsa and consomme. They are fantastic. People keep getting them because they are that good. They also have a bunch of other stuff there that sounds great. They have spiced wheat chicharrón, which sound really good. But they also have horchata, which is hard to find these days. So definitely hit that up and grab those. The garlic bread pretzel over at Maurice's Treats. This is also sold, I think it's still sold at Edelweiss Snacks. But this is one of those kind of virally snacks that people have been posting about. I got it recently. I thought it was pretty good, but I would recommend it if you're with at least one other person and you're hungry. It's a really good thing to split. I wouldn't seek it out because for kind of a bigger snack, I'd rather have a pretzel. I'd rather have something that's I don't want that much garlic personally, but I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a solid snack. And again, a really great thing to split if you have an hour until a meal or you're kind of in between and just need to grab something quickly because the lines there are never usually that bad. I also recently had the Garden Wrap at Daisy's Cafe. That is the quick service restaurant over in Toontown in Disneyland. It is a romaine and quinoa wrap with creamy lemon dressing, toasted pumpkin seeds, and served with house-made chips. It also had a bunch of stuff not listed that was inside of it, which like, okay, I'll take a surprise. Why not? But heed my warning. There are, I think like an edamame fell out. There might have been a garbanzo bean in there. I don't know what was happening in there, but I quite liked it. I liked it because here's the deal. So like the flatbread kind of tastes like the Trader Joe's lavash wraps. And it does feel like you're spending around like $10 or $11 for a handful of salad. But that's also why I kind of like it. It helps you get some veggies in quickly between all the rounds of yummy, delicious, snacky fried food stuff. And sometimes it's just for me, again, I'm thinking longevity. I'm thinking I'm here all day. I want to feel good the entire day. It just feels nice to like get some protein, get some veggies in, get a solid snack meal so that you can go and just have a bunch of treats and feel fine. I was really happy with it. It wasn't the most delicious thing I've ever had, but in terms of like getting a vegetable at Disneyland, I'm coming back for this one. They also currently have a version at Stage Door Cafe I'm going to try next. It is a kind of like a spin on a Caesar wrap. It has romaine, kale, pepitas, white beans. Oh, I love a white bean. Crunchy corn kernels, cojita cheese, and Mexican Caesar pepita dressing. I'm going to try that one. And I think it was $10, which isn't so bad. Speaking of wrappy things that can give you like enough to keep going for your day, the Rontoless Garden Wrap over at Ronto Roasters at Disneyland Resort is a longtime favorite of mine. I like the standard one, but I actually prefer this version. You still have the pita, you still have the gochujang sauce, you still have cucumber and kimchi slaw and delicious little bites, but you have a plant-based sausage. There's a lot in there. There's just, it's like a real good medley of flavors that I love. And I want to shout out, while I was doing this, I didn't realize that Docking Bay 7 still has the Andorian roasted chicken salad. That is a fantastic salad. I'm going to go back and check in on it because that was my go-to at Docking Bay for a long, long time. Haven't been back there in a minute and definitely want to check it out. And then, of course, there is Bengal Barbecue, classic. You got skewers of chicken, beef, bacon-wrapped asparagus, veggies, pork belly. You can get a stick, you can get it with a platter of rice. The seating area is not my favorite. I will be returning soon to try it again, but I think this is a great way to just grab something on the go and still have a classic Disney snack while, you know, chowing down on a piece of beef in the middle of the park. I just, you know, it's fun. It's fun to eat things on sticks. I also wanted to shout out that there are two types of gumbo at Tiana's Palace that you should check out because we don't talk about these gumbos enough. They have one that's braised chicken and dewy sausage and heirloom rice, and one that is white beans, okra, yams, sweet potatoes, and heirloom rice. I got the veggie one, the second one I mentioned. I thought it was pretty great. I assume this place will only get busier once our girl gets the spotlight in the coming weeks, but I love it and I highly recommend trying it while you are there. I also wanted to mention a few non-alcoholic drinks that I like. This has rotated over the years. I've pushed some out. Some favorites I'm done with. But the Boysen Apple Freeze, fantastic on a hot day. There's also this Minute Maid Agua Fresca Mango Lime, like slushy that they have at Edelweiss Snacks. It hasn't been hot enough for me to get it, but I was surprised to see that on the menu. So if anyone's had it, let me know because I'm very curious about that one. Also, sidebar, I have a question for all of you. Okay, settle a debate with me and my mom. Again, this is a total sidebar. At Disney World, they have a Powerade slushy. I was dehydrated and my mom was like, get the Powerade slushy. And I was like, Mom, it's not Powerade. It's not like actual electrolytes. It's just blue. That just means it's blue raspberry. Like it's not actual Powerade. If anyone knows, if anyone has worked food, if anyone is familiar with slushies, is there actually Powerade? Like, will I get electrolytes from drinking a Powerade slushie or is it just Powerade in name? Please let me know. Thank you very much. My go-to non-alcoholic drink is getting a Coke Zero at Refreshment Corner and putting a flavor shot in it. There are different flavors available. For some reason, I tried to mobile order it last night as a test and the flavor shot was unavailable. Unavailable, you say? They should still be there. It should be fine. But it freaks me out that it wasn't there. They better still be there. I love adding a flavor shot. And there is a Shirley Temple at Golden Horseshoe that a friend of mine, my friend Marissa, swears by. I think it's also fun to get a Shirley Temple and walk around the park. That just feels so retro. As for coffee, you know I am a Starbucks person. I am ordering in advance at the Downtown Disney Starbucks. I'm not waiting in a theme park Starbucks line if I don't have to. No. I'm getting into Downtown Disney and I'm walking into the park with it. But my friend Eric, who I mentioned, was furious that I did not tell him about the cold brew black calf over in Galaxy's Edge. So here is me telling you about the cold brew black calf. Again, it's cold brew coffee topped with sweet cream cheese and chocolate puffs, little cereal. It's famous for a reason. It's a good coffee. They also have a chicory cold brew with sweet cream at Tiana's Palace. But when they have it, my go-to is horchata cold brew at Rancho del Zocalo. It's not on the menu right now and I don't want to talk about it. I'm really sad, but that is absolutely fantastic. Now, as you'll notice, there's not a lot of Downtown Disney in this guide. If I'm there, if I have access to the park, I'm going to the park. I don't usually opt for out of the park if I don't have admission. But there is Din Tai Fung, which is now open. Fantastic soup dumplings. I love those. Naples, I haven't been to in a minute, but I really liked their pizza in the past. Do not eat at Earl of Sandwich. Why have people told me to eat at Earl of Sandwich for so many years? Tried it recently. Horrible. And both my husband and I felt absolutely ill after, just completely sick. Not for me, can't recommend it. And I know some people are like, but it's good if you get the Thanksgiving one. Enjoy, because you're gonna wait in a shorter line because I'm never going back. I think that is everything. But if I forgot anything, call up 747 Churros and let me know. Stuffed pretzel girlies, not you. Now you, I'm done with the stuffed pretzel. I'm done pretending that I'm interested in a stuffed pretzel because I am not. Everyone else, no offense to my stuffed pretzel girlies. I just, you know, I need to stop acting like they're a reasonable choice. I want my Miggy shaped pretzel and that's it. If there's anything else that you think that I should include in the next guide, I should try in my next trip, call me up, 747 Churros. I want to know. And I hope you enjoy. Have a wonderful time if you're on your next visit to Disneyland. I hope you enjoy some of this food. And yeah, just get yourself some yummies. That's what it's all about. Big news, party people. I am officially launching a long-term partnership with MEI Travel and its specialty division, Mouse Fan Travel. I'm obsessed with making sure you have the best theme park vacation possible, and so are they. Mouse Fan Travel, a division of MEI Travel, specializes in all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, all of it. And MEI Travel can help curate vacations with all major cruise lines and vacation destinations around the globe. Mouse Fan Travel is a no-fee Disney earmarked agency, which means they will handle booking your entire trip, no matter where you go, no matter what you want to do. They will help you plan it absolutely for free. For free! There really is no disadvantage to working with these expert vacation planners. Did you know they have a hotline where if something goes wrong and you're traveling, you'll have someone to call? Or that if you book a Disneyland or Disney World vacation and your room drops in price, they will get you money back? Travel agents are amazing! Disney World just announced some incredible promotions for 2025. You can save up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on select nights through April, which means it's the perfect time to reach out to Mouse Fan Travel for a free quote on your future trip. If you want to take advantage of having a new vacation booking bestie, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Hey, Carly. This is Jess from Oregon. Apparently now all I do is call the Churros hotline and give you feedback and tips from your Camelback buddy. Anyway, I just listened to the DVC rental episode, and I wanted to solidify for all of the listeners out there who haven't done it that it is like the world's best Disney hack. I've done it 2 times now, both at the Polynesian and the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I did it through the DVC Rental Store, who are also a fantastic group to work with. Super easy, hooks up to my Disney experience, could not be a better deal. I did also want to call out that if you stay in a studio, at least this was the case for us, your Magic Band or your key will work for the free DVC laundry room. So even if you don't have that in-room, one-bedroom or more laundry room machine set up, you can still do the laundry for free when you are renting DVC points. We did this in the Poly a few years back. Also, your little anecdotes about Pearl and her picture on Frozen are cracking me up. Because I swear to God, every single picture of me for the past, 2 decades on Tower of Terror, now Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout in California, I am making the exact same face every single time. So she may just do that on Frozen for the rest of her life. That's all. Thanks for everything you do, and I'm so glad you guys had such a great trip. Bye.
Oh, thank you. Great tip. I did not know that. Again, I'm not a DVC expert. I don't want to pretend that I am. So I appreciate tips like this. And if there's anything else like this for anyone who has rented and has experienced something that they want to advise me and everyone that listens to the podcast about, please, please call in and let me know, because I appreciate anything and everything. Again, it's weird to have been doing this job for this long, and yet DVC is still this kind of space that I've only covered here and there for specific reasons and haven't actually stayed with them too many times. So it's really nice to hear this, and I appreciate it. And also, okay, photo op. I have to tell you, I went on Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, the one in California, not the roller coaster in Epcot, a couple weeks ago at this point. And I don't know what it was. I think it was the time of day. We went into the ride, and the ride is so, like, the interior is so dark. The queue is dark. Like, the ride when it starts is dark. And then when the thing opened, I don't know, the shade, whatever it's called, when the thing opened to take the on-ride photo, it was so bright that I think my eyes hurt afterwards. So I remember we were up there for what felt like too long. It was like 7 seconds, and it was so bright. And so the picture that I got recently for my friend's birthday is me like half shut eye. Like, one is completely shut, one is half shut. Looks like I'm winking, and I'm just like trying to get through to keep my eyes open for the photo. And it is not a good look. But it is better than, I suppose, than Pearl being absolutely frightened on Frozen Ever After and me not knowing until I got home. Oh, the joys of parenthood. Thank you so much for calling. And again, if anyone has DVC tips, hacks, stuff, I want to hear it. I'm all ears, baby. I'm all ears. Thank you for calling. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and keep me posted on anything you eat at Disneyland that you like that I haven't included. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, or rate and follow us on Spotify. I also got some weird email that you can, on Spotify, you can leave a comment, but I've never seen comments, but supposedly you can? I don't know. Just let me know if you leave a comment. Leave a nice one. I can't see it, but I'm sure other people can. I literally tried to find comments I couldn't figure out. Anyway, just rate us. I appreciate it. And if you already have, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send us a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. And you can find very amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. It's holiday season. It's holiday season. Just keep that in mind. If you know anyone who listens to the podcast, you can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. And you can join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram. 99 cents a month. We're having 99 cents a month worth of fun. I'm putting little things on there, little previews of future podcast episodes, little shenanigans I'm up to. Sometimes little posts from when I go to the park. I post a bunch of stuff there that I don't post on the main feed. It's just a nice little community, and I love having it. And thank you if you subscribe. I really quite enjoy it. They also give you this little like asterisk next to people who subscribe, so when you get their DMs, you can see that it's them. I like that. I think that's nice. I think it's a nice touch. This episode was edited distinguishably by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, such a fun trip. Oh, my God, I can't wait to go again. That was so much fun. The ship, I think this was the magic. I get confused, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think this one was the magic. The rooms were so spacious. So we filled it up pretty good, okay? But Pearl made a path from the front door all the way to the back by the sliding glass door. She was having a blast. We set up a little toy area. It was so nice. The way you passed, let's talk about that, and rolled outfits together was genius. So you would take one outfit. Everything was there that you needed. Socks, T-shirt, diaper, everything was put together. I never saw anything like that. Okay, so yes, you addressed the It's a Small World nursery. So the babysitting situation was scary for me because I wanted to go so bad to Apollo Restaurant with you and, of course, the cutest guy in the world, Shay. But I couldn't because once I put her in there, you know, the ages are different, and I just want to make sure she was all right. And I just stood there for 45 minutes. I might have irritated some people, but I did not leave. I wanted to make sure. And then I just wanted to bring this up, too. So after we left, we were walking towards where you were, and I noticed that I noticed Pearl had an ankle bracelet on. So it was actually a Disney watch that they put around her ankle to track her, which is great. I mean, it's a wonderful idea, but she kept trying to take it off. So for her, it was annoying, but it was wonderful to have that security. So I realized if you don't return the ankle watch, they charge you somewhere about like $170, so you have to make sure you bring that back. She wasn't a fan, but safety first, and I thought it was a great idea. I was beyond impressed by your packing skills, not just with the rolled outfit, but you had not only the spinner snack tray, which was great, it had everything she loved, but you also had like this bento box style, huge container with so many different things. So she was having a blast, and I would have liked one of those for myself. Those are great. So next time when you pack a mommy one, because I want one of those. That was great. All right, you talked about having like the stain stick for Pearl. Okay, hold on. The only one who got stuff all over wasn't Pearl and wasn't you. Pearl was eating crushed bananas, and then she grabbed my brand new pants before we went out and put bananas all over them. So cute as could be, I don't care. It was wonderful to be with her, and I overpacked like you, so I had plenty of other outfits. I know you said you can't wait to go again with Pearl. Hello! That's how I feel. I can't wait to go again with you and Pearl. Don't forget me. You need me. You can't do this alone. I have to go. I love you. I love you. And I love you, Pearl.